This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Give it to Turner. Going to the right side of the
Who to start, who to sit, who's a sleeper, and who's a bust. A weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Back to throw, look, fires over the middle, caught, left, right, right, touchdown, welcome.
And from all around the NFL.
It's Garrett Lynch, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Ask your fantasy questions, hear from the experts, and let us be your weekly cheat sheet. Now, here's our resident fantasy geek. Guru Brian Lowe.
And good afternoon. Welcome to the Fantasy Lowdown, week number 9. It is November. The Patriots bye week is all done. And we're here talking fantasy football with you on Patriots.com radio. 1 hour every week from 4 to 5 Eastern time. It's a great hour to get your thoughts out in the open. Who to start, who to sit, your rants.
Who's a sleeper and who's a bust?
Who's a sleeper, who's a bust? I'm your fantasy geek. Guru. Web radio at patriots.com is the way to get in touch with us. Also, 508-543-7482.
Send in an audio MP3.
What was that all about?
It's been a thing. PFW guys have been getting these audio MP3s, and, you know, we played something for John earlier in the week, and we call Mikey V out and say, hey, why don't you send one to the playbook? So within 10 minutes, one ends up in our inbox, and now he's sending them to us, which is great. Love it.
People send lunches. People send MP3s. Someday, Jason, someday I'll be at that level. But for right now, I'm not quite at that level. I'm at a 4-3-1 level in our league, Jason. Had a tie this week with OJ's Dynasty. Now, I was as psyched and primed for a Monday night game as I've been all year leading into New Orleans-Atlanta because I just thought I expected it to be a really good game, but I figured this was going to be one of those big-time offensive explosions, tons of fantasy implications, and I had fantasy implications all across the board on my teams. Now, in our league here, B-Low League, I was down by 30 points, 99-69, going into Monday Night Football, and I had Matt Ryan, Marcus Colston, and John Kearney. So I figured I had a pretty good shot, far from a lock, but I figured I had a pretty good shot to make up that 30 points. I thought Matt Ryan had a chance to maybe not explode against New Orleans defense, but I thought he had a chance to maybe throw a few touchdowns, hopefully limit the picks. I figured Marcus Colston, he's going to score, right? He's going to score in this game. And John Kearney, hey, you knew there'd be some extra points. Maybe there'd be a field goal mixed in. I needed 30 points. What did I get? 30 points. Got the tie. So going to have to settle for that. Kind of weird to see the tie in there. I hate ties, 4-3-1, but knowing I had quite a bit of ground to make up into going to that Monday night game, I took care of business. What are you talking about? Who's whining?
You were. I hate ties.
You? Who likes ties?
They're better than losses.
They are better than losses. But you know what? I like there to be a winner. I don't want to be the loser, but I like there to be a winner. Got a huge performance out of Chicago defense. That was purely a one-week waiver wire pickup. Chicago got demolished by Cincinnati the week before. I was able to pick them up off the scrap heap against Cleveland. They give me a team-leading 26 points. Got 11 out of Matt Ryan. Got a pretty good number out of D'Angelo Williams. 15 points was good, but a couple of really poor performances. We're pretty deep as far as wide receivers and running backs. And in a flex position, I ended up using Torrey Holt. He gave me 1 point. LeSean McCoy gave me 15.
I cut him a while ago.
And if you've cut someone and I pick him up, that's all you need to know about me. My team is in free fall mode. I was 3-0, I think, now I'm 4-3-1. So not very good there. But, Jason, your quest for an O continues. You didn't put up a dismal performance. You had a good showing, I think, losing 107-92. Not an embarrassment, but, you know, that's par for the course for you. So I'm right in the middle of the pack, 6th out of 12 teams, and Jason is in 12th place out of 12, 3 behind the two teams that are tied for 10th. We've got a lot to discuss here in today's show. A lot to discuss. Web radio at patriots.com. As I went through watching games, had a good chance to watch a lot of games this past weekend and taking notes and all that. I just all kinds of notes. LeSean McCoy, who I just brought up, I was very high on him. I figured he's the kind of guy, if Brian Westbrook isn't playing, LeSean McCoy is going to rack up yardage. Now, going into this week, it looks like Brian Westbrook might be back, which definitely, definitely hurts LeSean McCoy's value. He might still be a decent flex play, but he took advantage of Brian Westbrook being out. You got the Jamaal Charles situation. I guess it's really the Larry Johnson situation in Kansas City, but we're going to discuss Jamaal Charles, what kind of value he could have. Let me know if you're thinking about picking him up. How about Houston's running back situation? You know, Steve Slayton, first-round pick in every fantasy league this past year, and Ryan Moats basically takes over for him the other day and has three touchdowns. So a bunch of interesting thoughts right there. We're going to get to all that and much more. You know, we've got a bunch of emails already in the inbox, so we're just going to get right to it here just early in the show. This one right here from Pablo. Hey, Brian, I'm having trouble picking the running back for this week. Normally I start Thomas Jones and somebody else, but he is on a bye. The problem boils down to picking two of the following: Rashard Mendenhall, LaDainian Tomlinson, Tashard Choice, and Mike Bell. Pablo says, I'm leaning toward the first two myself. Any tips?
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
Hey, he's asking me, not Andy Hart. So, I would say this. I would say LaDainian Tomlinson is a lock. San Diego going against the Giants. The Giants are in free fall mode. I think he's your lock. If you're looking to pick two, I think you need two out of these. It looks like LaDainian Tomlinson to me for sure. And then, you know, Rashard Mendenhall, I like, but, you know, there's thought that Willie Parker could be coming back. Mendenhall, you know, started out with a burst. He's going to play. He's going to play. He's going to get carries. He's going to start. Mike Bell's very intriguing. To me, that New Orleans offense, and New Orleans goes against Carolina this week, host Carolina. I think it's going to be another big offensive day. Even though I don't think Mike Bell is their number one guy, I think the number two running back in New Orleans, he's getting a good amount of carries. Pierre Thomas got the touchdowns last week. He's getting some carries. I'm starting to come around on Mike Bell. I say LaDainian Tomlinson is your lock. I think Tashard Choice, definitely you don't want to start. He's a bad choice for this week. And then it's between Mendenhall and Bell, and I'm going with Bell just because I put those two in the same category, Bell and Mendenhall, on my projected value for them this week. But I think there's more upside with a guy in the New Orleans, a guy who's heavily involved in the New Orleans offense. I think he's better than Rashard Mendenhall this week. So, Pablo, that's where I'm going on that one. Thanks for emailing in. The next email here, this is from Jeremy. Thanks for your help last week. I won again, and I'm now 6-2 and in first place in my 12-team family league, but I must admit that this was not the highlight of my fantasy football week. That moment occurred when Jason played the San Diego Superchargers song during my email question to you last week. I was both honored and humbled. Jason, I didn't really set you up well with this one, did I? There you go. Do you have the Miami theme song too, Jason? You know, Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team, and then give a little go bleep yourself, Miami, right? Now for the bad news. I'm playing my second-place cousin, who has the highest-scoring team in the league. He's been averaging 98 points per game to my 74 over the last month. I need to find every point I can get. Here are my two questions. Remember, Jeremy says, it's standard scoring, not points per reception. At quarterback, he's got Matt Schaub. I've played Matt Schaub all year without hesitation. Do I do the unthinkable and bench him at Indy in favor of a sore Matt Hasselbeck versus Detroit? At this point, I'm staying with Schaub, and I feel silly for even asking. Yes, you're staying with Schaub. You have to stay with Schaub. I'm not saying it's unthinkable, though. I think Matt Hasselbeck, at home against a bad team, Seattle's the kind of team that plays to their opponent. I should say plays their opponent. They beat the bad teams. They don't do well against the good teams. Pretty simple. You've got to go with Matt Schaub. But I don't think it's unthinkable to go Hasselbeck. It's not unthinkable to ask. Running back, I'm playing Ryan Grant at Tampa Bay. Please pick one, Kevin Smith at Seattle or Lawrence Maroney versus Miami's run defense. Alternatively, would you consider Maurice Morris if Kevin Smith can't play due to injury? The only other running back in the waiver wire who is not on a bye this week is Kevin Faulk. All right, Ryan Grant at Tampa is a top five guy this week, I think, in any format. Go with Ryan Grant. Of the pick ones here, Kevin Smith at Seattle, Lawrence Maroney against Miami. The Kevin Smith injury is something to watch for, no question about it. I don't think this is a Lawrence Maroney week. I think this is a Patriots passing game week. I don't think it's a Kevin Faulk week either. I probably go with Kevin Smith for sure. Now, if it turns out that he doesn't play, you know, Lawrence Maroney isn't a terrible alternative, in my opinion. I wouldn't go with Maurice Morris. I wouldn't go with Kevin Falk. Go Smith. If Smith isn't playing, go Lawrence Maroney. You never know. You know, he could break one out again like he did against Tennessee. But I'd go Grant and Smith, pending Smith's injury. Thanks again. However, even with your help, my team could be, cue the Joe Namath soundbite, struggling this week. Well, Jeremy, I'm happy to help, and I hope some of that helps you out.
I couldn't care less about the team.
There you go,
struggling.
Jason on the ball. Yeah! You have Miami queued up there? Should we play, a little Miami? You know, it is that week here in New England.
Miami has the Dolphins.
Make sure you blow them up, though. There you go. Blow them up. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. San Diego, Miami, and Buffalo. Buffalo has an interesting song, too. Go, go, Buffalo. See if you can pull that one up. Good work there, Jason. You're doing much better at the producing than you are directing your team. No question about that one. Webradio@patriots.com is our email address, as always. Oh, Jason, come on. Couple of notes, couple other topics I wanted to bring up before we get back to the emails. Mentioned the Houston running back situation. You know, what else did I want to say here? Dallas is the other one. Dallas. It's unbelievable between Barber, Felix Jones, Tashard Choice. You know, I've gone week to week, back and forth. I was so high in Tashard Choice early on, but now that Barber and Jones are back and healthy, you know, Choice is not even an option anymore. It's Barber one, it's Felix Jones as a flex if you need him, and then no Tashard Choice. You got one queued up here? I can kind of see the image. I can't. What do you got?
I'm working on it. The one that I just found isn't good.
Okay, well, better to wait. You know, wait on that until you know for sure. Arizona's running back situation: Beanie Wells, Tim Hightower. Who do you rely on? One of my teams, I got both. I got Hightower and Wells. And what I did last week, which didn't really work out for me, was start Tim Hightower. But here's the truth. Tim Hightower, Beanie Wells, you know, they get similar amount of carries. It seems like that's where we're at right now, although it's trending more toward Wells. But Hightower has more passing, more receptions than most receivers every week, it seems. You got to take that into account, especially in a points per reception league. Tim Hightower could be huge for you. But I'm sticking with Hightower and Wells on that one team that I have, because soon enough, it's going to be all Wells. Now, there might be weeks where I start both, because they could both be churning, but it's very interesting what's going on there. Similar number of carries, but Hightower is getting those receptions. No question about that. There you go. Oh, they're not. They make nothing happen. All right, Paul in London says, "Hey, Brian and Doc, I've got a team question this week, as well as my start and sits. Here's my team in a 16-team individual defensive player league. Starters are quarterback Brady. Fitzpatrick cost me a game last week and has now been dropped. Good move. Fitzpatrick shouldn't have been there in the first place. Running back Sproles and Felix Jones. It's weak. It's weak, but, hey, you do what you got to do. Wide receiver Andre Johnson, Colston, Vincent Jackson, that's dominant. You make up for your weakness at running back with the wide receivers. Tight end Fred Davis. Now, there's an interesting one. Chris Cooley out, maybe not for the year, but for a while. Is Fred Davis a viable tight end? I'm not sold on him because I just think there are so many better tight end options each week than a guy who's catching passes from Jason Campbell. Now, Cooley's very good. I mean, you start Cooley if he's available, or if he's healthy. Fred Davis, not so much. Flex, wide receiver, running back, tight end, Jamal Charles. Hey, this is the week for him. This is the week for Jamal Charles. We will get into him, including what some experts have to say, in just a bit. And then defensive player D'Amico Ryans, DJ Williams, Jerod Mayo. Sounds good to me. Never been an IDP guy. Not the expert there, but that sounds good. On his bench, Maroney, he says, who I think I should start, Kevin Falk, Cribbs, and Keller, who are on byes, as well as Brandon Tate, who I'm thinking about starting as a fourth wide receiver from week 12 onwards. I made a trade last week before my matchup of D-Ware and Tashard Choice for Jamal Charles once I heard about the problems in KC. What are your thoughts on that team in a 16-team league, and would you put Lomo, that would be Maroney, or Falk in ahead of Sproles, Jones, or Charles? Well, Paul, you know, really not a huge fan of Sproles. Although, I'll tell you what, Sproles this week, you can make a case. Against the Giants. A lot of teams are running well against the Giants. A lot of teams are doing a lot well against the Giants. Felix Jones, you know, I like him. Not sure if I love him this week, but he's interesting. I think in your case, Lawrence Maroney is probably your best bet. He's the number one ball carrier for this team going into this week. And they are playing Miami. They're at home. In your case, not in every case, but in your case, I would start Maroney, and I'd probably start Sproles. I'd probably start Maroney and Sproles this week. Sproles, you know, listen, I like Tomlinson this week. Don't really like Sproles all that much, but you never know. And if you got among your choices, I like those two. And I like Charles, too. Keep Charles in there at your flex spot. A couple of start sits from Paul. Needs two from Austin Colley, Santana Moss, and Eddie Royal. I've sat Royal for now. I agree with you. Austin Colley for sure. Still like him a lot after Reggie Wayne. They're in Indianapolis, and, you know, Indy hosting Houston, they're primed for a big offensive performance after last week not doing much at home against San Fran. And, you know, Santana Moss, I didn't like the tight ends catching passes from Jason Campbell. I like Santana Moss for this week. I'd keep him in there against Atlanta. Three from Slayton, Forte, Julius Jones, Ryan Motes, Felix Jones. I'm playing Julius Jones as a flex, as I think he can run on Detroit, and benching Motes and Felix to give Slayton one more chance. I agree with you on Julius Jones. You know, they cut Edgerrin James. They're playing a bad team. No question. This is a good week to start Julius Jones. Between Slayton, Forte, and Motes, you know, I don't know. I think maybe you give Forte another choice, another chance. I don't know why you're thinking about sitting him. You know, he had a big game last week, one of his first big games. They play Arizona at home. I like Forte. I think it's too much of a mess with Slayton and Ryan Motes right now. Going to read you one thing here. Gary Kubiak, Texans coach, reiterated that he's going to play all three of his running backs this week against the Colts. Kubiak said a starter will be determined later in the week. From Roto World, they're expecting Ryan Motes to start the game as a reward for last week, though his production will be limited by Slayton and Chris Brown. I wouldn't go with any of the three this week. I think, you know, that's not a good sign right there for any of these guys going against Indianapolis. You know, Indy is middle of the pack rush defense. I would go with Matt Forte and Julius Jones this week, Paul. And then Fred Davis or Kevin Boss, neither one excite me. Really don't like Kevin Boss. Kevin Boss has been a disappointment. You're probably going to want to lean toward Kevin Boss just because we just don't know what sort of thing Fred Davis is going to bring us. And, you know, against San Diego, Kevin Boss, yeah, I'd go that direction. Paul, thanks as always for emailing us. Much appreciated. But he brings up a couple of interesting points on a couple of interesting guys. And Jamaal Charles. Let's talk about Jamaal Charles here. What we know is that Larry Johnson is not going to play this week. That much we know, and with Kansas City, which means Jamaal Charles gets elevated. Now, CBSSports.com, great website for fantasy. They have a very interesting weekly element, the weekly face-offs. This is with Jamie Eisenberg, who we've had on the show here, and Dave Richard. They generally just take a player and kind of go back and forth on, should we start this guy, should we not start this guy? Who would you start over him? Who would you start him over? Here's what they have to say about Jamaal Charles. We'll start with Jamie. We like Jamaal Charles' potential, and hopefully he can play well enough to make Larry Johnson go away forever. He also has a great matchup that should make him a serviceable fantasy option this week against Jacksonville. The Jaguars just allowed Chris Johnson to run for 228 rushing yards and two touchdowns in Week 8, and six times a running back has had at least 70 total yards against Jacksonville this season. The Chiefs don't have a good offensive line, but Charles' speed could be a difference maker compared to Johnson's plodding style. And Charles should do well catching the ball out of the backfield. If you need a running back this week, consider Charles a good sleeper. I very much agree there. I think Charles is more than a sleeper. I think since we still have bye weeks, we still have six bye weeks this week, I think Jamaal Charles is a a top of the charts must start. Not up there with, you know, your typical top of the line running backs, but I think he's startable. He's very startable this week. Eisenberg says he'd start him over Ryan Motes, over Ricky Williams here against New England in the Wildcat, and over Cadillac Williams. Now, Dave Richard says, I like Jamaal Charles, but not as an every-down running back. The reality is that he's a glorified third-down back who's getting a shot at extensive playing time because the starter got in hot water. And sure, he's going up against a Jaguars defense that got run over by Chris Johnson last week, but there are two huge differences. Charles isn't a physical runner at all, and his offensive line is a mess. That easily helps Jacksonville. Charles can get the job done as a number three option, especially in a point-per-reception league, because he catches so many passes, but I think owners can start someone safer as a starter in standard formats. Now, Dave Richard would rather start Ryan Motes, Cadillac Williams, or Jonathan Stewart in this case. So very interesting debate there. I'm more on Jamie's side. I like Jamaal Charles for this week. I think he's probably a hungry, instinctive running back, looking for a chance, looking for a reason for Kansas City to just say, hey, Larry Johnson, we don't want you back at all. We got Jamaal Charles. So I'd try to pick up Charles in any league that you're in and start him this week. Still six teams on a bye. Buffalo, Cleveland, Oakland, St. Louis, Minnesota, and the Jets. Some pretty poor teams there, so it's not like we're loaded. I mean, Buffalo doesn't have a lot of, you know, well, Marshawn Lynch, Fred Jackson, you know, Cleveland, Jamaal Lewis. Oakland with their backs, McFadden, who apparently will be back next week, Justin Fargas. St. Louis, Steven Jackson, Minnesota, obviously Adrian Peterson, Jets with Thomas Jones. There's some running backs out there who won't be playing. This is not a bad week to start Jamaal Charles. You're obviously going to have to monitor that going forward, because if Larry Johnson does come back, then you know it obviously puts a chink in the armor when it comes to whether or not to start Jamaal Charles. But he is definitely an interesting guy to look at for this week. Now, while we're on the subject of this Week 9 face-off from CBSSportsLine.com, start Benjamin Watson versus Miami. That is another one of the questions. And here's what Dave Richards says. We're starting Watson? Granted, Vasante Shanko is on a bye, but Watson? Okay, fine. He scored in two of his last three games, but he also has no more than two catches in any of his last five contests. And three of his four touchdowns have come against cover two defenses, which the Dolphins do not employ. It also doesn't help his cause that he's caught exactly one pass in each of his last three against Miami. Unless Randy Moss or Wes Welker are missing in action, Watson won't be worth starting as a low-end number one option. Richard would rather start Todd Heap against Cincinnati, Heath Miller against Denver, or Greg Olsen against Arizona. You know, very interesting with Watson, and I look at Watson as a lot of these other guys that are sort of in that middle tier of tight ends. You know, like a lot of positions, there are obviously a handful of tight ends, five, six, seven, who you're going to start every week that they play. Maybe more like three or four, but there's five or six elite tight ends, I think, this year. There's a huge gap there, huge group there between eight and, say, 20 of guys that are capable. They might be hit or miss, but you just don't know with tight ends. Tight ends just don't get the target sometimes. I think Benjamin Watson is a reasonable option this week against Miami, because I think the Patriots passing game is going to have a lot of success. I think it's going to be more to the outside. But, you know, Benjamin Watson finds himself one-on-one against a linebacker like he did against Tampa Bay. I don't expect that this week, but you never know. You're going to want to use him. Now, it's hard to say. It's hard to tell week to week which running backs are going to be the guys. But, I think Watson could be an option this week. Now, here's what Jamie Eisenberg says. This is for the owners who are missing Owen Daniels or Chris Cooley or have Vasante Shanko on a bye. Watson faces a Dolphins team that has struggled with tight ends all season. Five of the six tight ends they have played this year have gone over 60 yards receiving, with three scoring touchdowns. Only Buffalo did not have a tight end play well against the Dolphins, and Dustin Keller struggled in his first meeting with Miami in Week 5. But Keller shined against the Dolphins last week, and Watson has a chance for double digits in fantasy points in this matchup. Don't bench a stud tight end for Watson, but he should be considered a sleeper. And Eisenberg would start him over Greg Olsen, Todd Heap, or Tony Scheffler. So, very interesting debate with Watson this week. He's got a good pace for touchdowns this year. He really is. Two in that first week. He's had a couple since then. Tampa Bay 2 weeks ago scored against Atlanta. Which other game did he score? I think he's got four touchdowns. So he's on a good pace. Kind of a matchup guy. But if you're in a bind for tight end, or if you have a good hunch on him, he's worth starting. Webradio@patriots.com is our email address, webradio@patriots.com. This is the Fantasy Lowdown here on patriots.com radio. We want to hear from you over this next half hour. We've got a few other topics we're going to get to, including a little more on tight ends, and we'll get a little more in-depth on that Texans running back situation. We'll be right back with more right after this on the Fantasy Lowdown.
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got razor-sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
Right, so, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Make sure you have this in reserve because 4 weeks from now, Patriots actually do go to Miami. You're probably going to be hearing that song again. Well, this is the Fantasy Lowdown. Much better. This is the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. My name is Brian Lowe, taking your questions on the fantasy football for this coming week. That's what we do every week here in the Fantasy Lowdown. Make sure you check out Patriots Today as well. Every Friday, I bring you the Fantasy Lowdown television version of who to start, who to sit, and a sleeper for each week. Back to the emails we go. This is from Todd in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Brian, the arrogant bastards have a dilemma. I have two wide receivers, one tight end, and one wide receiver tight end spot. I have Larry Fitzgerald, Mike Wallace, who I want to start, and I'm leaning toward Vernon Davis for tight end, but my WT I'm not sure on. I have the disappointing Jason Witten and the fast-rising Malcolm Floyd. I'm tempted to start Floyd because he has produced in every game and now is the number two wide receiver for San Diego. Your thoughts? Todd, I fully agree with you on Malcolm Floyd. I hate to say I was ahead of the game on Malcolm Floyd, but in one of my leagues, I did pick him up last week. Now, I didn't know that Chris Chambers was going to get cut, but Malcolm Floyd was a guy who was starting to rise up in an offense that I think is great. I think Phillip Rivers just gets it done. He just gets it done. And I think a number two or three receiver for San Diego is a lot more valuable than you know, even some of the number ones around the league. So now that Chris Chambers is has been released and Malcolm Floyd is pretty much the clear number two, I like him a lot, and I like him a lot this week against the Giants. I just don't have a lot of confidence in the Giants. Yeah, their pass defense is ranked high, but they've been down a lot recently, and teams are running the ball on them. I like Malcolm Floyd a lot. I think he's going to be in the mix heavily. San Diego probably wants to prove that cutting Chris Chambers was the right move, so I like Floyd. So for your two wide receivers, Larry Fitzgerald, obviously, and Mike Wallace I like as well. I'd go Mike Wallace, and you know, I don't really think you have a choice. I don't think you have much decision here. I think Jason Witten sits for you. Give me Vernon Davis. Ride the hot hand. San Fran against Tennessee, hosting Tennessee. Vernon Davis clearly has gotten some rapport with both Sean Hill and Alex Smith. I think you're sitting Jason Witten in your case here. I think it's Fitzgerald and Wallace at wide receiver. I think it's Davis at tight end. And basically for me, it comes down to Floyd over Witten for that wide receiver tight end spot. Maybe not every week. Like it this week. Maybe you agree, Todd. Maybe you don't. Hope that helps. Also from Todd, what are your thoughts on the rest of my team? I have Romo and Flacco. Tempted to start Romo. This week I'm probably going Flacco. Baltimore going up against Cincinnati is what that matchup is, right? Yeah, Baltimore at Cincinnati. And then for Dallas, they play Philadelphia at Philly. I like Philly a lot in that game. I'm leaning toward Flacco over Romo slightly. But give me Flacco this week. For running back, I have Chris Johnson, Rashard Mendenhall, who is ridiculous. That's what Todd says. Joseph Addai and Jamal Charles, who I just picked up. I think I'm fine with Johnson and Mendenhall to start. But do you think Charles' value since Larry Johnson is out for a bit and he finally gets the chance? I feel he is a speedy running back who can catch the ball that has a lot of upside. Well, we just got done talking about Jamal Charles. I like him a lot, but, you know, if you've got Chris Johnson, Rashard Mendenhall, and Joseph Addai, then, you know, Jamal Charles is not seeing the light of day on your team. You're pretty stacked there.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
Thank you, Andy. You're pretty stacked there. I'm going Chris Johnson, obviously, in that case. I kind of like Joseph Addai this week for you, if depending on Donald Brown's situation. And I don't remember what I read on Donald Brown. I think he's certainly not ruled out quite yet. But you're going Johnson first. Then it's between Mendenhall and Addai. I'd probably lean toward Mendenhall in your case. But I think all three of those guys are probably ahead of Jamal Charles. And I don't think that I'm, you know, back-talking here. I like Jamal Charles a lot, but I think a lot of fantasy teams this week, with six teams on a bye and a lot of good running backs, are in much more of a bind than you, Todd. So that's why I would go with I would slide Charles down your list. Finally, on D, I have the Colts, thanks to you, plus the slumping Giants D. Should I get rid of the New York defense, go with just the Colts? I'm number two in my league and continue my arrogance. I like the way you phrase all that, Todd. You probably do want to get rid of the Giants D. Give me a second here as I look up. I'm going to see who the Giants have coming up. I don't like them this week against San Diego. Don't like them against Atlanta. Don't like them at Denver. Don't like them against Dallas. Don't like them against Philadelphia. The next time I'd really feel confident with the Giants D is week 15 against Washington. And, I don't think they're worth keeping around for that matchup. Washington's not a good offense, but there are some even worse offenses out there. I would stick with the Colts right now, and let's just look at their upcoming schedule. The Colts, you know, this week they got Houston. Tough one to play them this week, but then they got New England, also a tough one. Baltimore, Houston, Tennessee, Denver, Jacksonville. They've got some tough ones too. But let me give every fantasy owner a tip right now. Scramble if you need to. In fact, I'm going to give you a couple seconds here to load up your page. You've got to be the first one in your league to do this. Go if you're at work, if you're at home, load up your fantasy team and go to see what defenses are available in your league. Here's what you're going to do. The team I'm about to give you, you know, isn't a great option this week. They play Baltimore. Isn't really a great option the following week at Pittsburgh. Take a listen to who the Cincinnati Bengals have in consecutive weeks from November 22nd through December 6th. Really a pivotal time in fantasy leagues around the world if you want to make a late move. Cincinnati goes to Oakland, hosts Cleveland, and hosts Detroit. Jason, are you listening? I hope you're listening, Jason. Don't pick up Cincinnati if you want to win, if you want to lose.
They're already off the board in our league.
Oh, yeah?
You must have done that this morning, huh?
I probably did. I don't know. I don't think I got Cincinnati in one of my other leagues. They've got Oakland, Cleveland, and Detroit. If Cincinnati defense is available in your league, I don't even care what their special teams does. If Cincinnati's defense is available in your league, stash them away for a couple weeks and then unleash them on your opponents for weeks. What would that be? 9, 10, 11. Weeks 11, 12, and 13. Oakland, Cleveland, and Detroit. So, Todd, if Cincinnati's available, go for them. Find someone. You're probably looking like you're looking like you're a matchup team here. Get rid of the Giants. I don't think they're definitely slumping, and there's not much hope in a lot of the teams you're playing. And then as far as the Colts, they have a decent defense, but they've got some tough opponents, some tough offenses coming up. I would hesitate to start them coming up. Go week to week. Go matchups. Todd, thank you very much for your email. Much appreciated. Next one coming from Cormac, who emails us every week. Hey, Brian, hope you're well. Had a great weekend last week. Went 6-0 in my six league. Cormac, you got six leagues? Wow. Keep busy on those, huh? But no rest for the wicked, so here's some more questions from your favorite Irishman. Number one, I need to pick up a tight end. I had Cooley, but he's gone. Not much available, as lots of people like Shanko and Keller, who are available, are on buys. Only real options are Benjamin Watson and Kevin Boss. Who would you go for this week? I guess I might then drop whoever I pick up for Shanko or Keller the following week if they're still available. I've been saying this for a while. I just think with tight end this year, you know, you can take the risk of cutting a guy like Vasante Shanko if you need help on a bye week. You might be able to pick up Vasante Shanko again next week. You might be able to pick up, you know, someone close to the equivalent. Matthew Berry on ESPN.com, the TMR, talented Mr. Roto, he talks about tight ends. He kind of brings it into the picture with Owen Daniels. Great, perfect, terrific. No, really, this is just what I needed. With Chris Cooley going down the week before, we now have two top five tight ends out for the season, or at least the next month in Cooley's case. Here's a list of tight ends who are available in a bunch of leagues and whom I would grab to replace Owen Daniels in the order I would grab them. Keep in mind, you also can just mix and match the whole way. See, that's what I agree with. Like, I really like Kevin Boss this week against San Diego. This is Barry talking. But if I were ranking for the rest of the season, he wouldn't be as high on my list. Here's who he goes with. Benjamin Watson, number one. Touchdowns in two of his past three games. Fred Davis, number two. He'd be my number one if Cooley weren't expected back. Dustin Keller, number three. By this week, but we've seen him do it before, and he finally showed up last week. Kevin Boss, fourth on Matthew Berry's list. Well, look whom Eli finally found. Spencer Havner of the Packers, number five. I don't expect three touchdowns in two games to be reasonable going forward, of course, but you can't ignore it either. It's interesting, Spencer Havner of the Packers getting a few red zone targets. And then finally, Bo Scaife of the Titans. He did have four targets last week with Vince Young in there. So, Cormac, there's a little bit of a look at what's available in tight ends. Matthew Berry really likes Benjamin Watson. I like him as a bye replacement this week. I would probably say you pick him up. You cut Shanko. Or maybe you cut Keller, actually. You probably cut Keller as opposed to Shanko. Just better offense with Minnesota. And then you have Shanko and Benjamin Watson going week to week. And then, you know, if there's another hot hand that you see on the waiver wire, you cut Watson and you bring in another new guy.
So here's a trade proposal that I have, Bilo.
For me?
No.
Oh, okay.
That was presented to me.
Okay.
I would receive LaDainian Tomlinson and Lawrence Maroney.
Okay.
In exchange for Reggie Wayne.
Tomlinson and Maroney. Was there someone else? Tomlinson and Maroney for Wayne?
For Wayne.
Don't like it.
I don't think I do either.
Don't like it. I like Tomlinson. I like him for this week, and I think he's got some good value. I think Maroney has some decent value, but you'd be talking about a top five wide receiver in Reggie Wayne. I was also offered a trade this week involving LaDainian Tomlinson. And I turned it down. Don't remember. I should have printed off the specifics, but I turned it down. That's a one-sided offer. It's two-for-one specials like that. You know, clearly you'd be giving up the better player there, Jason. I would say no. But, you know, you've always been in need of running backs.
Well, I'm actually on the waiver wire right now. I've just dropped LaRon McClain, and I'm waiting for Willie Parker to clear waivers.
All right. I mean, you know, it's about time you get rid of McLean. Parker's worth having. I mean, I think if he comes back, you know, I his value obviously has dropped, but he's worth having. Still a little more from Cormac. What are your thoughts about DeSean Jackson? He's on a few of my teams and has been great, but he does get only a handful of targets each week. I feel I've been lucky, and before my luck runs out, I'd like to move him on. However, I've been looking at some projections from now until the end of the season, and he's still ranked in the top 10. Do you agree? Would you trade him for Wes Welker? Yeah, I probably would trade him for Wes Welker. You know, Wes Welker is more of a reliable guy. Certainly, if it's a points per reception league, you didn't mention if it is or isn't. Certainly, if it's points per reception, you obviously go Welker. I think Welker is more upside in yardage. DeSean Jackson's the home run threat. Welker isn't, but DeSean Jackson is one of, you know, 5, 6, 7 targets there. Wes Welker is really one of the top two on his team. I would make that trade. But I do like DeSean Jackson. I think DeSean Jackson is very useful going forward. Final question from Cormac. I have McNabb and Romo on one of my teams. They're up against each other this week. Who do you think is the better game, and who should I play? Also, I have Hasselbeck and Romo on another team. I'm tempted to go with Hasselbeck, as he's got the Lions at home. But is this a risk? Thanks, as always, Brian Cormac from Ireland. All right. Definitely McNabb over Romo in that one. I like Hasselbeck over Romo in your other one. Not sold on Romo this week, and like I said, I like Hasselbeck a lot this year.
It's my quarterback.
And Romo, not on the same page with Roy Williams. Been a lot of talk about that. I like Hasselbeck. I've liked him all year. He's been hurt. He's had some really bad games. But when he's on, he's on. And I think in Detroit, he's going to be on. So McNabb over Romo. I'm sorry. Yeah, McNabb over Romo. Hasselbeck over Romo. There you go, Cormac. Thanks for your email, as always. Next one, we're going to bang out a bunch of emails here as we hit the home stretch on the Fantasy Lowdown. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Harry in Vegas says, I'm going to start Reggie Wayne and Miles Austin this week, but I'm stuck on a third wide receiver. Out of Michael Sims-Walker versus the Chiefs, Michael Crabtree versus the Titans, or Carolina Steve Smith versus the Saints, who would you start? Also, I currently have Jason Campbell as my backup QB with my league's trade deadline coming up. Would you advise keeping him or releasing him for either Mark Sanchez or David Garrard? Both are currently available off waivers. Thanks, Harry in Vegas. Certainly Wayne, certainly Austin. Interesting note on Crabtree that I saw recently. Michael Crabtree came down with an infected tooth and a slightly swollen jaw this week, but he's not expected to miss practice time. He will be fine for Sunday's game, and he's worth using as a wide receiver 2-3 against the Titans' below-average secondary. There you go. I'd say Crabtree, in this case, slightly over Steve Smith against the Saints. Now, I hesitate about that one because Steve Smith is good, and the Saints give up yardage and some touchdowns. But Michael Crabtree, I'm a little surprised, but he is their number one target these days. He's their number one target against the Titans. We saw what the Patriots did against the Titans. I'd go Crabtree slightly ahead of Smith for you, and then Sims Walker. Now, Jason Campbell is a backup QB. Depending on who he's the backup to, if he's the backup to a guy who is a frontline number one top 10 quarterback who's already had his bye week, then yeah, live with Jason Campbell instead of Sanchez or Garrard. Now, if I don't like Campbell long term, you know, I think he could be a bye week replacement depending on who they play. Like him definitely over Sanchez, slightly over Garrard. Hope that helps there, Harry. Much thanks. Many thanks for your email there. Next up here in the Fantasy Lowdown is Joshua from California. Hey, Brian, I've lost 3 games in a row, and I've got 4 questions for you this week. Joshua, I feel terrible. You email me every week. I hope I haven't been giving you bad advice. First of all, I made some transactions.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
Joshua clearly knows that now. I picked up Alex Smith, Lawrence Maroney, Malcolm Floyd, and Fred Davis. What do you think of these additions? Well, you know, listen, Joshua, it all depends on who you picked them up for. I like Alex Smith. I said it last week. I think long-term, Alex Smith this year is going to be a good pickup. Didn't think he'd have a huge game against Indianapolis, and he had a reasonable game, a decent fantasy game, but I do like him. Lawrence Maroney, I like in the short term. You know, when he's their number one guy in some of the matchups that they have, I like it. But it depends on who you gave up. Malcolm Floyd, I already said, I like a lot. Fred Davis, not so much. Depends on who you picked him up for at tight end. If you're really in a bind for this week, I like Fred Davis. Not real sold on him. Second question from Joshua. I currently have the Seahawks defense. Should I keep them or should I pick up someone else from the waiver wire? My top 3 choices at defense are the Falcons, Jaguars, and 49ers. Do not cut Seahawks this week, Joshua. They play Detroit. You got to start them. You've got to start Seahawks this week. Now, going forward, Joshua, let's look real quick at Seattle's schedule. They've got Arizona, Minnesota, St. Louis, San Fran, Houston. You know, you might want to hang on to them for when they play St. Louis, maybe later on against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is in a fantasy playoff week. You might want to hang on to them if you can, if you have a spot available. Definitely keep them this week. You're going to need another option when they play Arizona and Minnesota. And finally, who are some under-the-radar wide receivers for this week? Thanks for the help. Under-the-radar wide receivers, interesting question. Malcolm Floyd, definitely. Keenan Burton is on my radar screen, but they have a bye. Others, who are some under-the-radar wide receivers I can give you? You know, let me think about that. Let me try to get back to you on that one. You know, Deion Branch had a touchdown last week. Like Deion Branch for this week against Detroit. Maybe they look to ride the hot hand. Hope that helps, Joshua. We are banging through a bunch of emails here on the inbox. We might have a record for number of emails. Chris in Los Angeles says, here's my team in a point per reception league. Quarterback Kurt Warner, Donovan McNabb. I like McNabb this week. Running back Kevin Smith. Running back Clinton Portis. Also, Darren Sproles, no Sean Moreno, depending on the matchups. Well, for this week on that one, you know, I don't like Sproles this week. Not really sold on Moreno this week against Pittsburgh. I think you're safe with Portis. Wide receivers, Wes Welker, Roddy White. Wide receiver, running back, Brandon Marshall. Yes, good call there. Tight end, Vernon Davis and Tony Gonzalez. I actually have both those guys in one of my leagues as well. And it's Atlanta hosting Washington. It's San Fran hosting Tennessee. Like them both. Honestly, like them both. Because Vernon Davis has been so hot with touchdowns, I'd maybe lean toward Vernon Davis this week. But, you know, then again, it's really hard to sit Tony Gonzalez. Chris says, I'm trying to deal Brandon Marshall and Tony Gonzalez for either Ocho Cinco or Steven Jackson. What do you think? I kind of like Ocho because he's got a pretty decent schedule coming up and has already had his bye. Your thoughts? Well, most teams have already had their bye. There's only 2 weeks left. You know, I like Steven Jackson a lot. He's been piling up yardage. Really only had his first touchdown last week. I think we're going to expect more touchdowns out of him for St. Louis down the stretch. I would definitely move Gonzalez for either Ocho Cinco or Steven Jackson. Brandon Marshall, you know, I'd move him. I probably would move him for those guys. You know, overall, I think Steven Jackson's the best of the bunch. Of those four players you mentioned there, if you can trade Marshall or Gonzalez for Steven Jackson, do it. As far as Ocho Cinco, you know, I'm kind of on the fence there. Chris, thank you very much for your email. Next we've got, okay, we already got Joshua's question there. We got a question here. This one is from Shannon. Would you go with the Pats D versus the Funky Fish or San Fran at home against Tennessee? Standard fantasy points apply with team return yards. Okay, well, the San Fran defense, I like the San Fran defense. Very impressive against Indianapolis last week. And I generally would like them against Tennessee. You got to worry about Chris Johnson, though. One of those sort of things, did Chris Johnson get, you know, this huge game out of his system last week? And it's going to be a letdown week for him. The Pats D against Miami. Here's what I think. You know, we saw what Miami's Wildcat offense did against the Patriots last year in week one, or in the first matchup. The Patriots defense definitely tightened up in the second game against the Wildcat. Still gave up a bunch of points. There was definitely at least one garbage time touchdown, but it wasn't like it improved. It wasn't like it was a great performance. I kind of like the Pats defense as a sneaky pick this week because they're coming off a bye. Patriots have had 2 weeks to prepare for the Wildcat, all the wrinkles. They don't want to be embarrassed by it like they were last year. And Chad Henne's the quarterback. I'd lean toward Patriots D in this case, Shannon, over San Fran. Like San Fran, I'm scared of what Chris Johnson could do. And, you know, granted, Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams are probably going to get their yardage. But I think the Patriots are kind of circling this game. I think the Patriots defense, Vince Wilfork talking about it this week, he's ready to get down and dirty with this team. So I'd lean toward the Pats D this week. We've got James. James. Hey, B-Lo. Great to meet you again in London, and thanks for all the fantasy advice. Hey, James. Our pleasure. Happy to give you the advice. I'm doing pretty well in the B-Lo League on pfwinprogress.com, but suck in pretty much every league I'm in. In one of my leagues, I decided to keep the Patriots defense during the bye and managed to pick up Philly. Now I have them both and wonder which defense you think I should keep and or which one I should start today. Well, that ties into our last email. You know, Philly against Dallas, hosting Dallas. I do like Philly's defense this week. That's a tough one right there. I kind of like both defenses. Philly, yeah, I'm going to lean toward Patriots in this case. Now, Philly's schedule down the stretch coming up here. Let's take a quick look for you, James. They got Dallas, then at San Diego, at Chicago, Washington, Atlanta, New York Giants, San Fran. You know, middle-of-the-pack defense, I'd say right there. Same with the Patriots. You know, obviously against Indy next week, New Orleans in a couple weeks, I wouldn't want to start the Patriots D. Can you hang on to both of them and go matchup, go week to week? That's what I'd suggest right now. But if you're looking for this week, I'm going to edge toward Patriots over Philly. James, thank you very much for the email. What do we got here? This one is from Andrew. I was wondering if I should start the Pats D or not, and I was also wondering if I could get a picture and an autograph to add to my Pats collection. That would be so awesome. Well, Andrew, if you're talking about an autograph picture of Jason, I'd be happy to oblige. If you're talking about an autograph picture of me, not so much. Now, if you want an autograph picture of the Patriots defense because they're going to perform well for you in fantasy this week, I'll see what I can do. Don't get your hopes up. I'll see what I can do. But thanks for the email, Andrew, and I would start the Patriots D. Well, look at this. Tracy in our Brian Lowe League has Cincinnati's defense, wants to make a trade. Well, Tracy, we could talk. We could definitely talk. I'll have to take a look at who you got. You can take a look who I've got, but I'm very interested in the Cincinnati D. Shrewd move. Shrewd move by Tracy. Whatever week you picked up Cincinnati's defense, that's a good move. We've got... Mike was emailing in about some of the team songs we played. San Diego Superchargers, Miami has the Dolphins, the Buffalo Shout song. I'm not going to read exactly what Mike says here, Jason, but offers a few options as well. Now, Todd emailed earlier. What did Todd say? Todd emailed earlier about defenses, and that's when I started to get onto this Cincinnati kick. It says, sad to say Cincinnati is gone. What are your thoughts on Atlanta? My thoughts on Atlanta are not good. Not good for Atlanta's defense, but here's the deal. Atlanta faces Washington this week, hosts Washington. Got to like them this week. Got to like them against Jason Campbell this week. Now, the drawbacks there are that Atlanta is coming off a Monday night game, Washington coming off a bye, Clinton Portis still a decent running back, and Atlanta down the, you know, Atlanta going forward, their defense, you know, at Carolina, D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart, tough one. At the Giants, you know, maybe the Giants will figure it out by then, but I don't know. Tampa Bay, definitely use them there. Philly, New Orleans. I like Atlanta this week. Not sure if I like them too much down the stretch, Todd, but, you know, as you mentioned there, sad to see that Cincinnati's gone. That is too bad for you because I like Cincinnati. Wow, what a flurry of emails we had right there. Webradio at patriots.com. We love getting your emails. We're email-driven. Send us your emails all throughout the week. That's the way we roll here, and 508-543-7482 is the email address. Okay, a couple of other notes as we move on here and get close to wrapping up the fantasy lowdown. Roddy White, big touchdown against New Orleans the other night. He was held out of practice on Thursday for the Falcons. And there's no indication if the injury is serious enough to keep him out against the Redskins. Got to check back on Friday. So that is definitely an interesting one. Todd Heap, we've been talking a lot about tight ends today. Todd Heap remains likely to start. He has an ankle injury, but he does remain likely to start. Against the Bengals, who surrendered the 11th most fantasy points to opposing tight ends, he's a touchdown number two slot tight end for fantasy purposes. Saw a note about Anquan Boldin a moment ago. See if I can find that one. Some interesting Thursday notes as injury reports come on out. You know, we talked about Matt Forte. He had a huge week the other day, last game against Cleveland. Can he keep that up? Can Matt Forte keep that up this week against Arizona? I like him this week. I don't know if he's going to have two touchdowns again, but I do like him. His teammate, Devin Hester, who had a big offensive performance, a lot of receptions the other day for Hester, seven catches. He was expected to miss practice against today. He has a sprained right ankle. He stated that he will play this week against the Cardinals. Doesn't sound like it's too bad. How about Detroit? Calvin Johnson certainly looks like he'll be ready for this week's game against the Seahawks, according to the Detroit News. Johnson continues to work with the first-team offense in practice. He's shown, quote, no ill effects from the right knee injury that plagued him for 3 weeks. Time to get him back into the lineup against the Seahawks' weak cornerbacks. What I was mentioning about Anquan Boldin, he sat out practice again. He's going to be a game-time decision. Early indications from Ken Whisenhunt suggest he's likely to be rested this week, which means Steve Breston moves up a notch. Jeremy Urban moves up a notch. Very interesting to keep in mind there. If you're a Boldin owner, or if Steve Breston is available, might be worth picking up Steve Breston if you can in your leagues, just in case Anquan Boldin doesn't play. We talked a little bit early on about Brian Westbrook, LeSean McCoy. Westbrook was at Eagles practice on Thursday. He will almost certainly play against the Cowboys. He was starting to separate slightly from LeSean McCoy before the concussion, but we can expect an even timeshare this week, so that is very interesting there in Philadelphia with Brian Westbrook and LeSean McCoy. And one interesting note on Fred Davis. I guess during the team's bye week, he stayed in Washington with their tight ends coach, met for 2.5 hours Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday to get all the fundamentals down for being their new starter. He's said to be an excellent pass catcher. He will be the Redskins' primary tight end with Chris Cooley out for at least 3 more weeks. So, I'm not sold on him just because of the way that offense is going. A lot to prove there. Pick him up. Again, we've talked about Vasante Shanko, Dustin Keller, guys who are on byes this week. He's a guy to take a chance on, I guess. I'm just not expecting much out of Fred Davis for this week. Many thanks to all of our emailers. We had a lot of them, just a flurry there for the last 20 minutes or so here on the Fantasy Lowdown. We come your way each and every week, available as well as a podcast when the show is done, 4 to 5 Eastern, every Thursday here on Patriots.com Radio. Get your emails ready for next week. Sure to be a good one again next week. Thank you very much, Jason. Best of luck again to you if you try to go 0-9 or 1-8. That's up to you. Interesting trade possibilities too, huh?
Detroit Lions, here I come.
Here you come. All right, thank you very much to everybody who listened, everyone who emailed. We'll see you next week on the Fantasy Lowdown.